Welcome back to the Technology in Worship podcast, where we talk everything technology in worship. And by we, I mean myself, Eric Coleman, and my good buddy,
Benji Sartorius.
Benji.
Eric.
We are back.
We are back.
We are usually back.
Well, unless we break a foot or something.
Breaking a foot. Summer usually gets in the way, because while we think things are going to slow down, they usually actually ramp up.
Yeah.
But we're here.
We are.
I've enjoyed coming back week in and week out.
I've enjoyed having you back.
Thanks. We'll have to do another session when you come to Harvest as well and record there.
We can.
But I enjoy it because we've been able to bounce our ideas off of each other more and more. Yep. Specifically, I get to absorb more ideas from you more and more.
I'm glad I could share those with
but
you.
But it's good because things like digital signage, you know, I've looked into what you are utilizing, but it's good to see it in action, or comparing mixes and improving
the craft of mixing.
The craft of mixing.
Yep.
So I like that. That's why I love you, brother.
Okay.
We just shook hands.
Anyways.
And my wrist cracks when I shake people's hands usually.
You're a weirdo.
But we're back. I'll let you. I've talked a lot already.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Introduce what we're talking about?
Introduce what we're talking about. I've already talked a lot.
I'm really excited to talk about building the bridge between the sound booth or the production team as a whole and the stage or the worship team or lead pastor, and basically just, you know, becoming one team versus a battle that I think seems to happen quite often, and just how to navigate tough conversations and just how to work together. So,
yeah, we call it we stick with the two P's, the platform and production. And that's how we've kind of verbally.
Nice.
Built a wall. But I mean, we are all a part of the worship team.
Yep.
But when we do have our little side departments, we refer to it as the platform and production. So if I'm talking, just
got
so
it.
You know, that's probably how I'll bring it up. The two P's, the that was three P's, but
that was three. Pastor. That's the third one.
So I guess we should talk about why we're talking about it. Like you just said, I guess. So maybe you already said it, but
yeah,
it does seem to be an issue.
We can dive into that a little bit more. I
think churches.
Yeah. I mean, I see it on Facebook quite often of, you know, the sound team always gets the feeling of, they always have to ask the band to turn something down, right? Whether it's an amp or the drums. And on the band side of it, it's like, man, all the sound people do is just complain that we're too loud, or I'm playing too loud, or whatever it might be.
Or you get the like bossy side where someone on stage is telling someone
how to
at
mix
the booth how to mix, which doesn't make sense.
I love that one because, you know, you're behind the speakers and yet you know how it sounds in the room. So you go tell the sound person.
Or, you know, if you're not set up for people mixing their own ears, you know, you have a lot of, I need this down, I need this down from multiple people.
Yep.
Which just can get frustrating.
Yeah, like from the sound guy, it's like, man, it's like,
It's a lot of needy
things,
people.
A lot
up
of
there.
Needy people, and they're never satisfied, they're never happy, and they're always asking for, usually
more
it's more
less.
And more and more. They almost never ask for anything to turn down, so it's always more and more and more, and I always want more of me and more of this and more of that. So yeah, I think there's just a lot of even if it doesn't come across as headbutting, I think there's a lot of judgment for sure from both sides of, you know, like we just said, the sound person's always judging, you know, the team of, they always want more of this, more of that, or they just want to crank their amps up to 11. That type of thing.
Or so, other areas like the lyrics are too late, not
too late,
showing
too fast,
up on time, too fast.
The transition's too slow. Click that slide faster.
Which are all areas for improvement, but that does not necessarily mean the way it's handled during a rehearsal,
right,
is the correct way.
Yeah. And I mean, even from the other side, so from the stage or the platform side, you've got those team members probably judging the production team of, you know, they're always asking me to play softer. They're always asking me to turn this down. They're always,
they don't want me to play with those drumsticks, or
they keep putting me
in this bubble.
I try to make a suggestion and they don't take my suggestion or whatever it might be. So I feel like there's definitely judgments on both sides. So, I think the one of the first ways to solve that is at a staff level. So if you've got full-time or part-time production people, you know, full-time or part-time worship leader, worship pastor, I think it starts with that relationship first. And if that's not relatively good or healthy, it's going
to
come across
to everyone
in critical times, which is rehearsal or service, which then is going to come across to everyone's team.
At Harvest, I guess you could say, have noticed that when either one of us, you know, the worship pastor or myself, aren't, like, when we've woken up on the wrong side of the bed kind of thing.
That does happen.
It does happen.
We're all human.
There's some added frustration maybe between the two of us. Yep. I mean, we try not to have it there,
sure.
But I'm just saying when it is there, you can kind of tell there's a little tension.
Yep.
And therefore the rest of the team can kind of tell. Same thing's true though when that tension is not there. The rest of the team feeds off of that energy.
Yep.
And it's just positive vibes all around.
Yeah, I mean, even if there's really not much of a battle between, you know, those two staff members, the way that you come across, whether you say it out loud or not, your team's going to pick that up. So if you come across like, man, that drummer always plays really loud, or they always crank their electric amp up to 11, and you might not always say that to the team on the, or the band, but it's going to come across like you're always arguing or always fighting or always against the people that are on stage. So I think, yeah, again, a lot of it just starts with the relationship between that worship leader, that worship pastor, and your production technical director, production director, whoever might be on staff in that role over the production team.
And then I think it comes down to the two teams actually having more interaction with each other. Because once again, we are all one team. We have the same goal in mind.
Yep.
But if you have a team where there's not a lot of crossover of just regular relationship, even if it's just walking up to the stage and
you
just,
mean you, I have to get out of my chair or get out of my sound booth?
Yeah. And I personally think that we should be the ones making that first move. I do.
I would agree because we are there to serve the band.
We're there to serve the band. So
we're here to make sure that all the instruments have the right cable connections and that it works and the microphones are working and labeled or whatever it might be. So we are there to serve the band. So chances are the band's probably not going to come to you first. It's the job of either the staff member or the production team to walk up to the band first.
I would say that I try to model that by, I mean, obviously we're staff, so it's a little different too, but even if I wasn't, I'd want to be the one modeling that and I'm more of a relational person, I would say.
Sure.
So every week, unless maybe I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, I don't know. But every week I'm up on stage, maybe not as everyone's coming in, but at some point before we start our actual rehearsal, I'm walking by.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, how'd that thing go that you were doing? I saw on Facebook, or how are your ears okay? Or like everything good?
Is
with
your mouth
your setup?
Okay? You ever ask that? Or just the ears?
I've usually only asked about ears. I should start asking.
Vocals
about
use their mouth.
Mouth and eyes and smell.
How's your fingers?
How's your smell doing today?
How's your smell today?
Well, which nowadays, yeah, it could be impacted a little bit more than usual. So, but
yeah,
just that overall team care kind of thing. Like, I'm in this with you. And I think when you start before the rehearsal starts, that makes the rehearsal, especially those like, hey, can you turn down your amp conversations, or can you use different sticks, whatever it is, it makes it more relatable and relational than a demand.
I would actually take it a step further than that.
Please do.
And I think building relationships outside of the
church
is also like cool and good.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, if you're friends with one of the band members, or if you're a band member and you're friends with someone that's on the production team outside of church, you hang out, you might text back and forth, whatever it might be. Like, you have that friendship and that relationship before you even set foot in the building, which then makes those conversations of turn your amp down or play softer a little easier.
Yeah.
So I think we talked about that. I think it was episode 10 where we talked about the silent stage.
Oh yes. Yes.
And, you know, again, building those relationships before the demands happen, and those demands end up being a little easier. And I don't really want to call them demands. They're more requests or asks. So it just gets easier when you have that relationship prior to the rehearsal side of it.
Yeah. And then one of the things, I mean, you were just talking about like outside of church, but we also try to encourage everyone at Harvest to be in the lobby after service, whether you're production or platform, to actually get to know the church people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in that effort, we're unified to be like meeting people.
Yeah.
Now it's a little bit more visual for those who are on stage. They get recognized by someone and then they can collaborate or, you know, talk more,
sure,
be encouraged or whatever it is. But for the production team too, it's still important to get to know the members of the church. And in doing so, we just have that unified.
Here's a question
approach
for you on that.
Oh yeah.
If I was attending your church.
Sure.
And I'm walking through your lobby.
Sure.
And I'm not trying to steer this any direction. I'm just
flat
out wondering, how do I know if you're on the production team?
I want to get shirts, but
so you don't currently have shirts.
We don't currently have shirts.
And again, I'm not asking that question to say you need shirts.
Yeah.
But in this context of we are putting ourselves in the lobby so we can be seen and meet people and greet them and whatever it might be. But if they don't know what you're specifically doing, and I don't know, maybe that's,
it probably doesn't really matter.
Really?
But I do think that it would be nice to be able to be identified.
Like that type of context.
Yeah.
Right. In what you're trying to pull off or do. So, and I also think like shirts, I don't know. Mission is very big in merch.
You have so much merch.
Like, we have a ton of merch. We sell it. We give it away.
Whereas Harvest
we
is
do
on
everything.
The complete opposite spectrum. We get shirts for like VBS and that's about it.
We have shirt like, I would say most ministries even have their own shirts.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All the way down to like our food pantry team. All the food pantry helpers have shirts. Our men's breakfast have shirts. Like everybody has shirts. It's pretty crazy. And or hats, or I don't think we do any pants, but hoodies, sweatshirts, crew necks, T-shirts, long sleeves, hats.
Check in with me next week and let's see if I've ordered some shirts.
But I think when you give someone a shirt, it gives one a little bit of more ownership of like, oh, this is my shirt that I'm going to wear when I serve. It's kind of like, you know, a job. You have probably a uniform, depending on where you're at, that you have to wear when you go to work. It makes you feel like I'm more important and I'm valued more than maybe I should be or anything like that. So it just gives you a little bit more ownership. So giving someone a shirt is like, oh, yeah, they care about me. They took the time to spend the 10, 20, 30, whatever dollars it is for that shirt. And they asked me the size. So it's like, you know, it's for this person. And now if they are in the lobby mingling or whatever, now they're also recognized of like, oh, you're serving today on the production team.
Thank
like,
you.
Thanks so much. It really means a lot that I can attend, and it's more than just walking in and flipping the light switch on.
Yeah. Like, no, that's a good way to, if there's the visual representation from the platform,
yep,
that's a good way for the production team to be visually recognized.
Sure. Yeah, because obviously,
even though it's different.
Right. Because the production team's usually in the back, dark, hidden, whatever. So yep, they're not usually seen. And honestly, like, probably a lot of production like, that's why they want to serve, because they don't want to be seen. So maybe it could be the opposite direction. But I think it's a cool thing to give your team members. And
or they want to be seen too much, and maybe the production team's a way to humble them.
See? Join the production team. It'll make you humble. here's something that we've been doing.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
We've been doing this, let's see, 6 months maybe?
Don't say the team huddle.
Team huddle.
Team huddle. We've been doing it.
So nice. We call it WoPro.
WoPro.
And everyone's like, what does that stand
for? Wait, no, let me figure it out. Hold on. Worship production.
Hey, worship and production. So we've been doing that. It's been awesome. So typically what we do is we have Saturday rehearsals. We don't do anything midweek. We have a Saturday rehearsal. We get here at 2:30. We go through the songs two, sometimes three times. We are done by 3:45, 3:50, somewhere in that range.
And service starts at 5:30 or 5?
5. So then our video team does not come for that first part of rehearsal. They come at 3:55. We have a 4 o'clock WoPro. So that is all the worship team, all the production team, we meet on stage in a big old circle. It's a very large circle because, yeah, those two teams make up a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we basically just verbally talk through the service order, who's leading what song. If there's multiple people leading throughout the song, we discuss that. We talk about if there's any verbal transitions between songs, or are we going directly from one song to the next. And we basically just talk through the entire service. So now the video team is just now hearing arriving about this, right? So they were not here for the rehearsal, the first part of rehearsal. So now they know, okay, I'm on camera one. I'm the main camera. I need to get John Doe for this song because little Johnny is singing this song. So we just talk through everything, make sure that everyone's on the same page, everyone knows what's going on. And then we all break. We break for like 5 minutes for basically everyone to either go to the bathroom, get to their positions, make sure
eat
that equipment is on, that type of stuff. And then we do a actual run through. And we go through the service as if it was an entire service, transitions, music, and all of that. Some of the cool things that happens in that circle of the WoPro is, you know, sometimes we'll go around real quick and it's like, what's your favorite ice cream? What's your favorite season?
A little bit of an icebreaker.
A little bit of icebreaker. Cause like we've got a huge age range of volunteers between those two teams. So like on the production team, we've got junior hires that run video cameras and stuff. And we've got people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s that are on both sides. So we have a huge age range. And sometimes they don't know each other that are standing in that mm-hmm. circle. So we usually go around, or I shouldn't say usually, but every so often we go around, say our name and favorite something. And so it's just a little bit of like, oh yeah, I like
cherry whipped cream.
I wasn't going to say that, but sure. Yeah, I like that too. So maybe we should hang out after service maybe or something, you know, things like that. So it's just a really cool way of just everyone coming together. Very quick friendship building, team building possibly, and then a quick talk through. We're done by like 4:05, so it's very quick. And then we do our run through, and then we do a service at 5. So, but yeah, that team huddle has been really cool, I think, is just people just coming together. And I think it's also cool for the band side to see, wow, there's a lot of people that it takes to pull off a service, more than just the 5, 7, 10 people that are on stage for a worship service.
There's usually equally, if not more, behind the scenes.
Equally, if not more. Correct. So, and in our case, we have people throughout the entire campus. So, you know, you're on stage, you'll see the couple camera people and the front of house guy, but you won't see the pro presenter operator because they're in the basement. You won't see the video director because they're in the basement. You won't see the person that's mixing broadcast because they're in the basement. So there's 3 or 4 people in the basement that you will not see in our upstairs or in our main worship space during a service. So it just brings everybody together, and it's super cool. But you guys have been doing that?
We've been doing a team huddle for, I would say, about a year, maybe year and a half. We do it on and off.
Yep.
I would say it's intended to be a weekly thing.
Sure.
But there are seasons when we don't do it.
Yeah.
Part of that is we set ours to be the first thing that we do.
Yeah.
So I think maybe because we've also seen a trend that people don't still show up on time. Have you ever seen that in your church before?
I
don't know.
Once, maybe twice.
We see that, unfortunately. I'm not going to go in there. But it does seem like there's a little bit of tardiness, which can deter the plan to do the huddle.
Yeah.
But either way, one aspect of the huddle that we've done is similar to you, run through the service order, basically literally just reading it out loud and letting people.
And a lot of times that's literally just all it takes.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of them. And we've been doing that regularly every week, whether it's just from talk back or whatever, from front of house to the band.
And so do you do midweek rehearsals, or is this on Saturday?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we do Saturday service and Saturday rehearsal only.
And then that little huddle also is on
Saturday.
And
the huddle is also on Saturday before our 4:00 rehearsal. So, well, the huddles, it's all get there at 4, be ready by 4, huddle at 4. That's how we have it set up.
It's
not huddle at like 3:30. It's huddle at 4. We'll start whenever the huddle's done.
Yep.
Maybe it would help to say get there at 3:30.
Yeah.
For
so
the huddle.
Obviously,
4
like,
is when rehearsal
starts. So for us,
starts.
Obviously, we've gone through the music for most of the team.
Yeah.
They're already there. They've gone through the music, so they can't be late. So really, it's only the video team that is arriving just before that meeting. And so we tell people 3:55. For the 4, and we don't tell them at 4:00, but for the 4:00 WoPro.
Yeah.
So that gives them maybe a little buffer to be a minute or two late. And that allows them hopefully to get in, turn their camera on, and get up to the stage basically. So there's not a lot of leeway there. And that discussion's relatively, or sorry, that meeting is relatively new as far as the video team not being there. So for a while, our entire team production and band would get here at 2:30, go through the rehearsal, do the WoPro meeting, and then the run through. And we got some feedback from the video team of, we don't really need to be here for that entire time, because obviously, it's good to know who's leading a song, right? Or is there a instrumental in the middle of the song, and is electric guitar going to do something? That type of stuff. That's always good to know. But that 2:30 to 3:45 time is really...
stop and go.
Stop and go. It's figuring out who's doing what and when, and making sure the slides are correct for Pro Presenter, and making sure that the audio team is getting their mix ready to go and dialed in. The video team really doesn't need all of that plus a full run through to know who's leading what song, who's doing a transition, that type of thing. So we got that feedback from our team, and so we're like, and I really was like, yeah. I don't want to get down that rabbit hole. But what I told them is, all right,
we'll try it.
We're going to try it. We might go back, but here's the thing. You guys need to make sure that you're listening to the music ahead of time, so you know, oh, there is an instrumental. We're probably going to do it. We might not, but we're probably going to do it. So I know after the second chorus that there's going to be instrumental in this song. So as a video director, I need to be ready to go to a camera that might be on that specific guitar or whatever it might be. And as a camera operator, I know, okay, I'm the one on stage. I need to make sure that I'm going to that guitar around this time to get ready for that shot type of thing. So I said, all right, I'm going to put, it's a little more ownership on you guys, making sure that you're prepared and all that stuff. But if everything works out and everything, we don't have issues going forward, perfect. We'll do 3:55. We also don't live stream our Saturday service. We record it and it gets sent internally to the band and the production team to watch and review for Sunday. So it's not high stress, oh, we've got hundreds of or thousands of people watching our stream, and we've only got one run through under our belt before we go live. So it takes a little bit of that stress off as well. So, yeah.
Do you think that will change when you do the iMac?
No.
No.
So as of right now, if you've heard other previous episodes, we've talked about doing iMac for our music portion of our services. We currently do not. And we're still trying to figure out when and how and all that stuff is the best time to implement that. And the last we've talked is probably not iMagging the Saturday service, because that is our least attended service. And it just I don't know, when you show a shot of the room and it's not very full, it's kind of
sure.
It's just not inviting or anything. So, however, it has been growing. So maybe by the time we're ready to pull this thing off,
it might
be big enough where we feel like we could iMag the Saturday service as well. But as of right now, we just record internally, no iMag. So there's really not high stress, high pressure for the video team. They can get a rehearsal or a run through under their belt and a service under their belt before we live stream. Nice. And or iMag.
Nice.
So yeah, so it's been good. But that WoPro, if you guys aren't doing some sort of team huddle, and that team huddle, that could be, just a production team huddle. Now obviously we're talking about bridging the gap and
it'd
really
be helpful to somehow have it together.
Of course. But even just getting your team together and talking things through, that helps. But obviously it's better if you included the band with that as well. So
we try to include an element, like I said, we go on and off. The key element that has been consistent is sharing the service order, but one of the other elements that we incorporate into ours is we do more of like a devotional mm-hmm. on the top end too, which yep. just helps get everyone's heart, mind, soul
yep.
in line for the service. So, I mean, that probably would be considered the more beneficial
sure.
part. Plus, then we end it by, all right, we're going to have three people pray. You, and you are going to pray. And it's just a really helpful, just aligning sure. moment.
Yep. So, you guys, I think I caught this. You start at 4:00.
We start at 4:00.
And you have some sort of team huddle, usually.
Usually, right at 4:00.
So what time would you actually say you start, majority of the time, making noise, as far as like a run-through, rehearsal, sound check, all that?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually like a 15-minute huddle, and then we say, you know, take 5 minutes to get ready, so it's probably like 4:20.
4:15, 4:20, somewhere right around there. And you have a 5:30 service?
We have a 5:30 service.
That is really tight.
But our musicians come in rehearsed.
Sure, of course. But I'm talking about like as far as like a team huddle, because I'm thinking like, how can you change that team huddle to maybe get more people included, you know, if they come late type of thing?
Well, it's kind of...
You don't have the time to like...
Yeah, and then doing it after, we don't have it. Because we start at 4:00, even if we did the huddle later,
yeah,
you know, they would end up probably, we would basically need the whole time for the music side of things.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it's easier to throw it at the beginning.
Sure.
And know we need to get it done.
Yep.
Before we can go on and make noise.
Yep.
But at the same time, so realistically, we probably have to move it up to like 3:30, 3:45
yeah. almost. Yeah.
And say we'll be making noise at 4:00.
Yeah. The problem
it just seems like we can never end the music side of it with enough time on Saturday, at least.
Yeah.
To do the huddle after.
And then a service right after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough. And obviously, like, if I was a volunteer, and I mean, obviously I'm going to try to make it to that huddle that's at 4:00, but I'm like, well, they don't really need me till 4:15, 4:20. Like, they don't really need me. It's okay if I have to stop and get gas,
it's okay,
or
if I miss it,
I need to help my wife with kids or help my husband with kids, whatever it might be. Like, you know, it's not like they might miss me, but they can still do their little huddle without me. So it's just, yeah, I was just trying to think, is there a better way to do that within the same time window? But yeah, it's
tougher.
It gets tight. So,
but yeah, our team, I mean, we're not checking lyrics and that kind of thing as much.
Right.
And maybe it doesn't actually happen here all that much either, but like, that's something I do during the week.
Yeah.
When I'm building out the tracks, it's like, I know the lyrics are right.
Right.
And we're not, we've just had the philosophy, we're not adding something in the middle of a song. If we add anything, it's going to be a tag at the end of the song.
Sure.
And then it's just click back to that section in the slides or add it at the end of the cue. So we hardly ever have like a lyric error. It's all automated,
right,
as well.
Right.
So the timing's going to be fine. The video, so we basically end up doing 2 full run throughs, and we don't do a ton of stop go most of the time.
Yep.
There's occasional, we almost always say we're just going to plow through the song.
Yep.
No matter what happens.
Yep.
Unless it's like really bad. Then we talk about whatever during that first run through at the end of that's each song, essentially. We don't really go back to it right away.
Yeah.
It's, we get through the set. Okay, there's usually not much of a break. Then we do a full run through
with no stops or whatever.
Play the videos within the service.
Yeah.
Run through the service, no stops, as if it was service. And like I said, including videos or talking points.
Right. Yeah.
Now, talking points might be, sometimes they're abbreviated to be, I will talk here. I'll say something about this. Play this.
Yeah, just
tracks.
So you get one, a signal level of that microphone when they're talking, but you're saving a little bit of on time because you're not going to say the exact same thing, but you've got camera operators that need to get to that person. Maybe a level change on the audio level of that channel, whatever it might be. So,
but yeah, that's, I would say all those little elements of just communication, relationship building, they all really add up to helping build that bridge between the platform and the production, because it really is, there literally is a wall between you of chairs.
Yes.
There's usually a wall of chairs. Not necessarily
multiple,
a vertical wall, but it is a distance barrier.
It is.
I would say one of the things that does help with the distance, and if you can implement this, you should figure it out somehow, even in your communication between both sides, is some sort of talkback mic. Because I do think there's just a tone about like yelling from one side of the room to the other that just isn't helpful for most people.
Yeah. I have a really funny story about talkback mics.
Oh, please do. I like funny stories.
All right. This happened to me on talkback. So I don't know if you guys remember, but a few years ago, there was this thing called COVID that shut down churches.
Really?
Yeah. And which made churches have to usually like pre-record their stuff, right? I know. Big news flash.
Wow.
So we would do like a, I forgot, like a Thursday night service recording type of thing. And I was on stage, like right on the front of the stage, basically, with a camera on a tripod. And I had, so our comm, we use Unity Intercom, for those that don't know, which is a IP internet network based intercom system. And so I had my laptop with Unity running with my headset. I had a Stream Deck connected, so that's how I could quickly talk. And one of the channels on Unity went to the band so we could talk to their in-ears. But I'm also talking to the production team as well. And I and one of my sound guys are very big into smoking meat.
Okay. I'm glad you said meat.
Smoking meat. Meat. And so the band, you know, they're doing their thing, but they kept messing up a specific part on this one song. To the fact of like, they were like going over and over and over to try to get it right. And I don't remember the song. I don't remember the issue. That's beside the point. But anyways, I, on comm, was talking to the sound guy. We were talking about smoking meat, whatever. And, oh yeah, I did this the other day. I did that the other day, blah, 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 blah. And then, I had to talk to the band about something, so I talked to the band, and then I forgot to unmute the band comm channel from my headset, and they kept messing up this part, and I, in my headset, thinking that I was only talking to the audio engineer, start complaining about the band not getting this part right.
Ooh.
And I was like, what is so hard about this part? Why can't they get this right? Or something along those lines.
Ooh. Literally not building the bridge right now.
And the entire band heard me. Now.
Oof.
Our worship pastor, he made a comment of, what was that type of thing? Like, Like, he didn't quite understand exactly what I said, but he did hear something.
Okay, okay.
So, and that...
You were able to recover a little bit?
Because he stopped, or the band stopped or whatever. Like, they were done. And he said whatever comment he said of, what was it that you said? Or something like that. Not like a smart aleck, like, what did you just say?
But literally, what did you say?
What did you say? And that was when I looked down, and I'm like, oh, crap. I didn't unmute the band channel. They just heard me tell them how bad they were, or they were doing that one part. And yeah, so
I think that's all to say. We don't necessarily do this perfectly.
We don't.
Building the bridge. It is difficult. I mean, it's not an easy task.
What, I don't remember which band member, but there was a band member that, he did clearly hear what I said. And now, granted, it was not because of that person. They were not the ones messing up. So they kind of looked
at me.
They
agreed.
They kind of laughed after the worship pastor called me out of, what did you say? And I looked up, or I looked down, and I looked up, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And he kind of laughed at me like, yeah, like, let's go. So, but I also have that tendency of just like, I don't know. Speaking my mind and laughing about it and not coming off too critical
in a mean way,
but more of like a joking way. So, yeah. So all that to say, if you do have a con between the band and front of house, be careful what you say.
Be careful what you say. Because, but I do think it's helpful.
It is helpful for sure. It is definitely helpful.
In building, and specifically, it's, I would say, a pretty crucial part of...
Yeah, I mean, it's also helpful building. For like, because again, half of our team is in the basement, so they're able to talk with the band. So Pro Presenter can, you know, talk to the band and say, are you doing a tag at the end of that song? Should I add another slide type of thing? So like, they can talk right to their monitors. Then, you know, they talk right into their microphone and then we can hear them. So, but yeah, just be careful what you say, because... It could offend someone.
It could backfire a little bit.
It could backfire. But hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully you guys, if you're having issues with either the production team or you're on production, you're having issues with the band, hopefully we were able to help you out a little bit that might help solve that issue. And for those that don't have issues, like, keep it up. Hopefully you still got something out of this. Maybe you do something new or change something around that might help even more. But it's been great. Do you have anything else to say? Any parting words there, Eric? All right. So you guys have a great rest of your week, and we we will be back next week with another episode.
Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Goodbye.